Thank you so much for that. That was beautiful. Thank you. Don't mind me while I get set up here. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be, the first place I want you to go to is John chapter 6. I'm not necessarily going to preach out of that passage this morning, but what I want you to do is John chapter 6, verse 29. And if you're a highlighter or an underliner in your Bible, for your Bible, 29, circle it, highlight it, do whatever you need. And that's a verse that me personally, I go to. Some people would say like your favorite verse, and I wouldn't go as far to say that because there's definitely plenty of verses to go through that. I definitely enjoy that, bring comfort. But that's definitely a verse that over the years, knowing just the purpose of Jesus, the work that he has done, and the transformed life that he produces in you and me through the Holy Spirit. John chapter 6, verse 29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he has sent. To believe in the one who he has sent. My name is Josh Garza. I really don't have a whole lot of time to share a whole lot about my life. So I'm going to give you the gist, and I have a few things I want to cover, but a few quick things just off the, kind of some quick stuff. I'm 22 years old. I have a fiance named Sarah Fernandez, soon to be Sarah Garza. We'll be married May 18th of this year in Brownwood, Texas. I have served as the youth minister at First Baptist Church Augustine for about 3.5 years, and it's been a blessing and great time. And obviously, I'm here in view of a call. I was making a joke earlier with a few people. So I had some problem getting here. My car didn't necessarily broke down. I was going about 40 miles per hour after a while. I couldn't accelerate past that. And so no matter what happens this morning, no matter what, first of all, the Lord is glorified. If anything else, and things, the Lord does his thing and something doesn't work out, I'm going to bum off of this area for a little while, for a couple of days while it gets fixed. So you will see me around. And I hope it's not awkward. The next thing is, I want to share the first part of my heart is this is also kind of not super fair, because I kind of get this platform to kind of speak about myself. I get to talk about my life, and obviously I get to talk about Jesus. Super awesome. I want to get to know you guys. I really want to get to know who you are as a people, not just as this church, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's my heart and my passion, for sure. So four things I want to share with you this morning. The four things I'm going to go over is four core values of mine, things I value in my life. The second, I'm going to talk about my testimony, my call to ministry. Third, we get into some more fun stuff, my philosophy kind of in ministry, kind of also dealing with youth/student ministry, as well as student and family ministry. I'm very adamant about that. It's youth and family. I'm going to get to that later. And the fourth part, the really fun part, is we're going to talk a little bit of theology this morning. I promise that part, as fun as that might sound, I promise it's going to be very short, and if anything, I'm excited about it. So four core values. Number one, I am immensely passionate about Jesus. I believe that all of Scripture, all of it from Genesis 1 to Revelation, is a unified story that leads us to Jesus. Now, when we explore it and we unpack it and the richness and the deep, whether it's poetry and the historical value in it, that it is a compelling story that leads us to follow Jesus with everything that we have. Everything that we have. It's a beautiful, beautiful story of God's divine word, his revelation to us. And through Jesus, we receive the good news. Quick disclaimer, I am a Bible history and language nerd, card-carrying, actually. So I might nerd out some stuff. I'm not interested in trying to, you need to walk away and know these Greek words or Hebrew words of stuff. If there's something to unpack and to show value in, I'm happy to talk about it. And so the gospel is this Greek word called evangelion, which is gospel, good news. And it's really reference to the anointed king, the awaited anointed king of Israel. And through Jesus, we receive the good news, the gospel, the evangelion, that God's creation will be restored and that we are made new in him. As Paul would put in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, you are a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come, a transformed life. The second core value that I have is I am crazy in love with Sarah. That's a good thing. I have to say, whenever I was writing this in my notes, I want to say that this is a good habit, I guess. But I wrote, I am crazy in love, and I first put Jesus again for the second time. Now you can imagine, I was kind of looking over this, I was like, whoa, okay. That's great. Awesome. Force a habit. I'm not going to scratch out Jesus' name and put Sarah in there. What do I do next? What's the? I had to kind of check my heart, like, Lord, I want to make sure that you're above and Sarah's, you know, not doesn't take your place. I'm sad that she's sad as well that she could not be here this morning. She is in Fort Worth leading some young student girls in a women's youth conference. So she's serving the Lord there. And so I've been saying this morning to a few people that she double booked herself, and it's okay. She's still serving. She's fighting the good fight and things like that. Man, she points me to Jesus, man. Trying to brag on her just a little bit. She loves unselfishly. Man, in my darkest time, if I can kind of get a little more transparent right off the bat, man, my mother passed away in August 27, 2017. That was really hard. And I know some of you have probably lost family members, and so you guys can relate with that. At that time, Sarah was struggling with a math course. I mean, so would I if I was in her shoes. Just trying to get some stuff done and turning stuff. But as soon as kind of got the news and everything, she just turned to me. So I'm going with you. And that's when literally it was that moment that I knew that I wanted to marry this girl. And so we dated for about a year, year and 2 months, and I proposed. And then, like I said, we'll be married on May 18th in Brownwood. The third core value is I want to continue to learn, and I want to continue loving my enemy. I want to love my enemy. I want to learn to love when it's hard. I want to learn to love the people that can sometimes seem very hard to love. Maybe people you don't like. People that maybe sound differently or don't make sense when they talk. Man, I want to love them. I want to love them as best as I can. Just for Jesus, when he tells us in Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, verse 44, to love your enemy and pray for those that persecute you. Man, that is profound. That is totally just not the way things should seemingly go. To love your enemy, the people that don't like you, the people that want to run you out of town, only through with a transformed heart, with a new creation life, can you do such things? To be challenged to love my enemy. If I stop learning to love my enemy, I stop pursuing Christ. I think that's very foundational for Christ. As soon as I stop learning how to love my enemy, I stop pursuing Christ. I want to love when it's tough, whether it's convenient or not, and to be guided through the Holy Spirit, to be challenged and to also be challenged, to be the challenger in those things. Number four, and this is purposeful. It's I want to love my enemy, and the next thing, I want to love my neighbor. The reason why I kind of put it that way is because sometimes you can choose who your neighbors are. Sometimes, not in all cases. You can literally choose your neighbor that lives next door to you sometimes, obviously. And sometimes you'll be surrounded by some people that are very familiar to you, that you're comfortable with. And man, those people need love too. Nothing worse than someone that is always out there loving everybody else, and then when you come to your neighbors, they're like, man, that guy's a jerk. You know, that's just not cool. To love our neighbor and to love those that are in the image of God is the overarching message there. Next thing, I want to talk about my testimony, my call to ministry, and everything in between there. My dad and his side of the family is predominantly Roman Catholic. And then my mom's side, my sweet mother's side, she is has family that was from Assemblies of God tradition. And then they came together, and we went to several different churches growing up. Went Baptist, Methodist, you know, here and there. So I've really experienced several different traditions, all except Eastern Orthodox. Those are the people with icons and stuff. So I've experienced that, and I was told who Jesus was. And Todd, and we had things, and I was like, oh, yeah. And I would claim to be, you know, follower of Jesus. I'm a Christian. I didn't know what it meant for to be buried with Christ and raised to new life, you know, to have that gospel-centered transformation in my life. For youth that are in the room, this part, everyone obviously is welcome to hear this part, but for the youth, pay attention to this part, because this is where things really change. It was in seventh grade when I was in middle school. I had a friend named Dalton, and Dalton invited me to a youth camp. At first, I was like, "Oh, sweet! We're gonna go backpacking, and there's campfires." And I was like, "Well, hold on, cowboy. We're it's not like that. There's, you know, like obviously, like there's gonna be showers and stuff like that. Middle school boys, hopefully, use them and things. But there, you know, there's some worship time. We're gonna learn about Jesus. We're gonna have some Bible study and things like that. And obviously, there's gonna be some fun stuff, some really awesome stuff. And man, that year I went to camp, and the Lord really just aligned some things in my life." And the things that people had taught me or things that I grew up learning, the Lord just kind of put those in a line and said, man, like, I love you, Josh. He loves you too. And from there, as the prophet Ezekiel would put it, is that my heart that was a heart of stone is now softened and now beats with new life. It's made of flesh. That new oxygen goes to my life as I am a passionate follower of Jesus. And I got baptized as soon as we got back with my home church at the time. I was like, you know, I'm a Christian now. I want to follow Jesus, and so therefore I want to be a leader wherever I can. So I learned, I studied, I got involved with youth group, became a leader there, got involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes at my school. And I just really wanted to serve and get involved, and things were not always great. But again, it was the process of sanctification and learning more about the Lord's salvation over my life. Throughout high school, I wanted to be an architect. I was decently good at math. I say decently because then, you know, like I said, when Sarah was struggling with math, I was like, I don't know what this is. And I was profoundly fascinated with physics. And so I thought, okay, Lord, well, I'm going to be an architect and I want to do all these things. But also, I felt a strong call to serve in the church. I was like, man, this is awesome. This is great. And I just think, like, some of the things that the passions that you've given me, Lord, are catered towards this. I applied to two different schools. One was Howard Payne University, Stingham, Yellow Jackets. And then the other one was Oregon University, Go Ducks. I wanted to be an Oregon Duck because they had one of the best architecture schools. And so I was really excited. I got accepted to both. But kind of like the safe route, I was like, you know what, like, Lord, obviously I want to be obedient and things like that, so maybe I'll go to Howard Payne for a year, transfer over. We'll see. We'll see what the Lord has. It's funny because, Alton, your logo is very similar, or if the same exact same as Oregon Ducks, so, you know, I just kind of put that together right now. Funny how the Lord works, man. The summer going into my freshman year of college, I committed to Howard Payne. That's where they were expecting me. They had a room set out for me and stuff like that. I go back to the summer camp that I learned about Jesus. And I got to help as not only as a counselor, but I did some sound design stuff. I helped the band with their audio stuff and you know, all that fun jazz. All of a sudden, one of the counselors brings this young boy named Richard up into the booth where I was at. Richard's a seventh grade boy. I hope you hear some kind of similarities in the story. Richard's a seventh grade boy going into eighth grade, comes up, and the counselor just says, Josh, Richard wants to be a computer engineer. He wants to do this stuff. And so we thought he would be happy up here with you. You get to show him around some of the stuff. And I'm just thinking, this has nothing to do with computer engineering. And so I was like, okay, well, come on, Richard, come sit down. And I was showing him some of the buttons, and we were messing with the band on certain things and trying to be funny with, you know, as middle schoolers love. as the band was kind of transitioning and doing their thing, and, you know, as we were worshiping together, I was talking to Richard, and I was saying, well, man, what do you want to be when you grow up? And so I've talked about his computer engineering, wants to do robotics and things like that. But the night radically changed in one moment. The band was transitioning off. They were taking off their instruments, so it was super quiet. Richard turns to me and asks, Josh, what do you want to be when you grow up? I was like, man, I want to be an architect. You know, I want to design buildings. I want to do these things, and it's going to be great. And really built it up to be this phenomenal job. Maybe Richard, by the end of it, was like, man, I want to be an architect too. And then I said the second part, I was like, or like I can also serve in the church and do things like this that I'm also immensely passionate about. Again, super quiet, Richard turns to me and says, Josh, you should be in ministry. Josh, you'd be a great youth minister. I think this is where you belong. And so I turned and I was like, thank you, Richard. I turned back to the screen and with a tear in my eye, I'm like, yeah, man, you're great. Like, don't look at me. Trying to be a big brother figure, I guess. Man, I just wrestled with some stuff. Man, it was just affirmed that my call was to serve alongside other believers in Christ, serve in the church, and be immensely passionate about that. That's a little bit of my call to ministry, my testimony. And the third thing is my philosophy of ministry, and also including a small part of that, student and family ministry. Again, I mentioned earlier that I believe that the Bible is a unified story that leads to Jesus, and it tells a compelling story that leads us to follow Jesus with everything that we have. Since early on, God has been seeking to restore his people ever since Genesis 3. And God also gave his law, the instruction. It's not really the stuff of like checklist of, okay, I did this, I did that, we're good to go. But it's stuff that, this is the stuff that makes you different from everybody else. This is the stuff that gives life. This is the law and instruction I give to you to be my covenant people. Man, they struggled and they struggled hard. And there you have it, the Old Testament. Through Jesus, and Jesus comes on the scene, now you have gospel transformed hearts. And that through that, we're now saints in a royal priesthood, as Peter would put it in 1 Peter. Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people. He's referencing all these believers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Which means peace is restored. That we can learn how to live in a community of love where we are excited and willing to love our neighbor, to love our enemies, to serve and to love unselfishly. As 1 Corinthians, Paul would talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is kind of talking about the organization of the church and how when someone suffers in the church, man, we all kind of suffer. Like, it hurts. When something awesome happens for someone in the church, man, we celebrate. We throw a potluck meal. We get excited. And not just the lowercase c church, but man, the capital C church. Someone in China comes to know who Jesus is. Man, we celebrate. We rejoice. We're excited. And when someone else is suffering, man, we pray for them and we suffer alongside with them, no matter distance. And together, my philosophy is that we're disciples that make disciples. Together. There's people that we all come in contact that someone else might not be able to reach. And our call that we're all, in a sense, called to ministry, to love, to share the good news of who Jesus is. And as far as student and family ministry, I would affirm and say the exact same thing. There's no difference. That is the exact same thing. The only thing I would like to add in that is I believe that the primary spiritual leader is the parents, the guardians, or caretakers. And that I, for me, I believe that the call in ministry is to partner alongside and not as a partner as in like a co-share, but in the background as a resource and to encourage discipleship by the teachings of Jesus. All right, so we're coming to the end. We're on the part four, theology. And I said I was going to keep it short. I'm just going to talk about two things, good theology and bad theology. Good theology, love like Jesus does. That's great theology. And bad theology, anything that puts me in the center. Of course, you're going to be involved, and as your heart is transformed by gospel-centered transformation, obviously you're going to be kind of in that circle, but you are not the center of it. That's bad theology. And good theology, love like Jesus does. Again, I know that's a lot of stuff. I know that's a lot of stuff to also take in. And when David was telling me about this, I was like, okay, well, these are some things I want to hit, and I want to make sure I say this. I want you to know this about me. Obviously, I can talk on for a long time on all of these things. I realize there's a lot of stuff, but the takeaway I want to have is that change in anyone's life comes through gospel-centered transformation. And God is crazy about you. God is crazy about his creation. And in Christ, we no longer have the heart of stone, but a heart of flesh that's passionate about others. The current president for the SBC, J.D. Greer, he wrote this book of Stop Asking Jesus Into Your Heart. And one of the things he talks about is kind of salvation and what that kind of looks like. I'm not going to go super in depth, but there was just one line that I thought was immensely profound. Is that salvation isn't just the prayer that you pray or the thing that happened in the past, but your salvation is a posture. Your salvation is a posture as you look to Christ. And all of our goal is as we face Christ, that man, others follow. Not worried about coming out here and saying, hey, like, let's, you know, come with me here. It's, man, what place else would you rather be? Gospel-centered transformation and a faith centered on Jesus Christ. If you have any questions of anything that I've said, and like I said, I know it's kind of a lot and it's scattered, but I'm excited for what the Lord has. If you have any questions about things that I said or anything, I'd love to talk with you. I would love to break down some more stuff, and I hope we have that in the near future. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ here in Olton, Texas. God, I pray that in this time, Father, that you are glorified above all things, that you're glorified and that we as people, whether whatever we come with this morning, things that we're worried about or things that are taking place in our lives, God, that we don't ignore the fact that there's some deep evil in this world, but that you have overcome it. You've overcome death. And you teach us to new life. You became like us so that we may become like you. Father, thank you for this gift. And thank you for this church. I pray this in Jesus' name.